Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Somebody who knows FCS well, because at North Dakota State, I think they've named buildings after him. Neil Coolong, sir, welcome.
North Dakota State is the FCS.
Yes.
No buildings yet, but that's because their football team is a absolute powerhouse, cranking out legends every year. They don't have that many buildings. It's not that big of a school, so part of the reason they're FCS.
Well, yeah, I think they ought to name it the Carson Wentz Neil Coolong Fargo Dome.
I don't know if I want my name associated with Carson Wentz anymore. That one's kind of gone downhill, unfortunately. Kind of letting me down.
All right, then we'll call it the Trey Lance.
Yep,
Neil Coolong Fargo Dome.
I'm good with that. Kyle Shanahan just said today we're moving on to Trey Lance now. Trey's time in San Francisco. We're excited.
Yeah, they got including the option at the end. They got 4 years to work with him, so at minimum.
Yep, well, they drafted him for this exact reason.
You know,
he was going to need a little bit of a runway, and he probably still is going to need a little bit of a runway, but.
You know,
the risk you got to take.
You know what's interesting about that is that he has played so little football, Neil, in recent years. Because, I mean, the pandemic year in 20, he played one game, and he actually didn't play all that well in that game.
It definitely was the worst game he had as a college player.
Right.
not even close.
But that's what makes it. He's a lot of natural talent, obviously, but he's such a mystery guy. How do you look at him?
That's what you get with him. I mean, he was drafted on raw potential and on tools. You saw a lot of good things for him. And I had a lot of conversations with him because I saw him when he was a true freshman, when he first got on the field.
Yeah.
Just in one of the throwaway games. And it was like, oh, my God, this guy's an FCS player. You got to be kidding me.
Right.
I mean, he's clearly better than everybody else who's on the field. And this was a blowout against, you know, not a very good team. But even then, you saw it. And then he started the first game of his redshirt freshman year. It was a game played at Target Center or Target Field in Minneapolis against somebody who didn't belong on the field with him. I don't even remember who it was, but he absolutely dismantled him. He could run, he could throw. You could see the arm strength. He had what would look to be like a prototypical NFL quarterback size for his age. He was only 19, and he did that all year. I thought his decision making, you didn't get a great sense of that. The big statistic for him was he hadn't thrown an interception. A lot of balls he threw that probably should have been picked off with you know, better competition. Not a huge deal, but you saw the potential. But you also have to look at the fact that he barely played. So, you know, is he going to have a downswing? What's going to happen when he gets a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger? There were a lot of things in there. I didn't think he would go top three. I didn't think a team would trade up that much for him. I kind of thought he was going to be the 10, 11, 12 range somewhere in there. But at the same time, when you see the quarterback that you want, and there are a lot of traits that he has that fits in well with what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. He's got good pocket mobility. He can read a defense. He can throw accurately on the move. Those types of things can be utilized well in Shanahan's system. It just takes a little bit of time to kind of adjust to it compared to what he was running in college. And you give him that runway, I think you have something to work with. I understand the consternation, though. I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback this year, but he's big, he's mobile, he's got a good arm, he's a good student, and he's a good leader. You put all those things together, as low as the odds are of becoming a great NFL quarterback, anyway, typically the best ones have those traits. And I think, he's got that package already. You got to see how it'll develop. You know, he's still a kid. He's only 22. So, he's got a long way to go. I hope he does well.
I think this is an interesting question. That's why I'm asking it. People listening may say that's a stupid question, but I think this is an interesting question. In a league that seems to want to know everything about you, Is it more beneficial for your draft prospects with less tape?
Which position would we be discussing?
I think quarterback. I think almost any position. So, I mean, in other words, I got so much tape on him. I've seen all the warts to go with all the excitement.
Yeah. I think it's anything. I mean, it's obvious. Like Trey Lance proves when it comes to the quarterback, less can be more, and on a good one, and on top. At the same time, though, I'm saying that when Kenny Pickett's draft stock went through the roof.
That's a good point.
Because he came back and put more forward. It's also specific. I will say this. If injuries are not a factor, if it is not an issue with the school, if it's not something of you know, perhaps a less savory manner that the player would go pro, it really just seems that teams would have more of a preference for a younger player. At the same time, I can hear Jim Nagy of the Super Bowl screaming about the value of having that All-Star week to put more film down against high-level mm-hmm. competition in a supervised environment, create more narratives for your game. I think it could work either way. I would say this. If I had a son who had a professional football career headed quickly to him, I would say get to the NFL as quickly as possible. There's no point in being in school. If you're that level of prospect, I don't see the value of going to college if you can pull in that kind of money early on in your life. You may as well give that a shot and, hopefully it works out. If not, we'll figure something out. But I think teams respond better to a player who's 21 rather than 23. So the question is, how evolved is your game when you're younger? If it's evolved, if you have potential, if you have something elite about you, you'll get drafted. We've seen that time and time again. I was just having a long conversation with my brother, in fact, where good old Jarvis Jones' name came up.
Yeah.
You look at the opposite end of potential, of youth. An old injury history player who was at best a mild athlete, mm-hmm. but he had a ton of experience and a ton of film. I will, for the life of me, and you and I talked about this back in the day, for the life of me, I will not ever understand why they drafted Jarvis Jones at 17 overall. Right. There's nothing about that guy that was a first-round pick. Right. Nothing.
Right.
And the main thing that the Steelers went with at the time was all this college production. Like, I could rip that apart. Don't tell me your scouts don't see who he's going against, the manner in which he's getting these sacks. He's been in college for like 7 years, and he doesn't have a pass rush move.
Right.
He's not a good athlete. It wasn't just cold that day he ran the 40. He's a legitimate 4.9, 40 guy.
Mm-hmm.
He tested poorly in every regard. There's nothing exceptional about him. He's a fifth-round pick, from my opinion.
Right.
And along with that, not only did Jarvis Jones flat-out not work out in the NFL, but the Steelers completely overhauled their entire draft philosophy after that because of that. When you have the younger player who has elite athletic traits, you draft them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the tape piece of it is very important. I don't want to act as if that's not important, but when it comes to your marquee players, you've got to take athletes. That's just the way the game is played now. You've got to get guys that can make plays wherever they are on the field. And the Steelers, whether they've done well enough to justify what they're doing, they have drafted athletes first in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some validity to that. They've rebuilt their defense. They've got to kind of probably get into the offensive side of things a little bit better. But we've seen, evidence of that to this point with this offseason. So I think if you have good tape and good athleticism, you should enter the draft. Otherwise,
right.
If you've shown quickly in your career that you have the athleticism and your tape is okay, and how about this? I'll point this out. George Pickens.
Yeah.
Not a lot of tape. Coming off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Enough tape, the right tape, to say, going is probably a good idea. And yeah. He's a second-round pick, not like a top 15 guy by any stretch, and he's probably – if things go the way that you think that they will, he's probably going to outplay that second round contract pretty quickly. But it's still a decent chunk of money. He's still entering the league when he's a little bit younger. He's going to get paid to rehab whatever, you know, he has left to rehab in his process and be able to play in the NFL and get paid to do it. So I think by and large for the elite level playmaker guys, when you have it, go, you know, the NFL isn't, it only takes one team to take you. And right. it seems more often than not, those guys get drafted.
Trey Edmonds, he's gone. I mean, so you know, when you look at the Steeler roster going into camp, is the battle for spots 35 to 46, is that about where they are with this team? I mean, besides the quarterback thing, obviously.
That's a good question. I think what we saw with the Steeler, it was interesting, especially early in their draft. They had get guys that could play. They needed to get guys they could get potentially 600 plus snaps to right away. They had massive holes to fill. They didn't have a running back last mm-hmm. year. It was pretty obvious why they drafted Najee Harris where they mm-hmm. did. They really didn't have a tight end last year. Needed to take Freiermuth where they took him. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Green, turns out that he's not really a center either, I don't think, but they needed somebody to play center. So. Yeah. You take Green where you took him. I don't want to say that they were Band-Aid guys. Maybe Green was to a certain extent. But overall, they needed to get guys that could play right away. At the very least, in Green, you took what's probably a dual-position offensive lineman in the third round. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not totally against that. You can justify that now with the fact that Mason Cole is probably very similar but better than Kendrick Green, or at the very least, he's more experienced. If you can figure out if Mason Cole can play center, perhaps Green is a better guard. Perhaps he's more of a reserve guard and needs a little bit of time to develop. But they've built themselves options for those 35 through 53 spots.
Right.
That's something they did not have at all last year. I mean, they almost were handing out invites to people to come in and play, mm-hmm. and absolutely no depth on that team. Right. So they were able to work around that and build with it, and some excellent management and coaching, in my opinion, to grossly overachieve to be where they finished. They answered a lot of those problems that they had last year. We'll see if it works on the field, but I feel like they brought in reasonable personnel to establish depth, to bring in starters that can play probably better than the guys that they were replacing. Their defensive line, as we saw by week 12, week 13, you know, to paraphrase J.J. Redick, they had plumbers and firemen out there playing for them at the end. And they added one in the draft. They signed a really good one in Ogunjobi.
Yeah.
You get Alu-Alu back. You retain Montrevious Adams. They added a ton of depth to that defensive line, and that was a major problem last year. They added some depth to the linebacking group. I think that there's value in doing that as well. They don't usually sign three cornerbacks in free agency. They did that. They loaded up with depth. I'm not saying any of these guys are all pro players necessarily, but they have quality NFL talent at in deeper spots on their team than they did a year ago. And that, to me, is really what the battles for 35 through 53 are going to be a lot stronger than they were a year ago. I'm not even sure there really were battles last year. They probably only had 44 guys. Yes. The other ones were added for whatever reason. They actually have a reason to compete and have expectations for the players they keep at the bottom of the roster this year.
When you look at the explosiveness, you talked about athletes. How athletic is the Steeler team potentially when it's all said and done?
I think they've gotten better with that. I when I think athlete on a football team, I'm thinking the receivers and the cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure their cornerbacks are elite athletes per se. Obviously, they're going to be among the most athletic guys on the team, but relatively speaking, to their peers in the NFL, they don't have elite athletes at the position, but they're big, they're quick, they're experienced, And they have, I think Terrell Austin's done a great job with the Steelers secondary over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think they have a tactical advantage in the overall balance of the players that they have at that position, at cornerback in particular, but their secondary as a whole. Minkah Fitzpatrick clearly is an elite level athlete. You've got that. Terrell Edmonds, as a player, might be up or down, but he's a great athlete. They have ways of being able to make plays on the ball in the air. And now they have depth at cornerback with solid, you know, solid NFL players. Again, they're not Darrell Revis or anything in their prime, but they're solid enough that you can expect them to be able to do a thing or two when they're out there. As far as their wide receivers go, I don't think Deontay Johnson is a phenomenal athlete. We've talked about this a bunch.
Yeah.
He's a very good technical receiver. He has great feet. He has great balance. You know, some probably hand-eye coordination issues he needs to work out, but a very solid NFL receiver. Chase Claypool is an exceptional athlete. George Pickens is an exceptional athlete. Calvin Austin is an exceptional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing playmakers in, and they've got to find ways to utilize all of them to the best of their ability. I think they have the raw talent. I think they've been kind of hampered by a kind of a weak arm quarterback the last 2 years, at least season and a half.
Mm-hmm.
By about week 11 on, I think Roethlisberger's career was pretty much over. We could see that. We'll see what they do with a more physically capable quarterback. Might not be as smart as Ben, might not be able to see the field as well, but they really should be in a position to make plays down the field. And to be honest, they haven't done that for 2 years longer, you know, really since
right.
2018 was probably the last time they were able to make big plays as an offensive unit. We just haven't seen it. I'm hoping what was obviously a concentrated effort at the wide receiver position to get young athletes on the field. I'm hoping they'll reap the benefit of that simply because these guys are better athletes. They're younger. They're not imposing size wise, but they're very quick. They're very agile. They're fast. They should be able to make more plays. So I think overall they're more athletic. They have very athletic defense. And they have overall their front seven. However, that works out with depth charts, they're very athletic. They have a lot of athleticism in that group. It might not be, you know, Ryan Shazier, but obviously T.J. Watt's a great athlete. Alex Highsmith mm-hmm. is a good athlete.
Yep.
Cam Hayward can still move very well. Montrevious mm-hmm. Adams is a very underrated athlete. Chris Wormley's a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
They have athletic guys up front. They'll be able to match up more defensively, I think, than they've been able to. And if they can stay healthy, they should have a really good defense. It's just really a question of getting them on the field and making sure they can be out there.
My friend, they deserve to, once again, name a building after you. Maybe not the Fargo Dome, but yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell them you said that. The next time they call me asking for money, I'm going to say, where's my building? Steve said, build me a building. I want one.
And if you can donate money to them, they will do it. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, sure. Just write the check here. And, yeah, that's probably how the conversation would go. But no, I'm going to try that. Seriously.
I would go to the dedication.
I'll send you an invite.
It sounds good. Thanks,
we'll make
Neil.
This happen.
Thanks, Neil.
We'll talk to you guys.